on Thursday, January 29th at International House, Piedmont Avenue at Bancroft in Berkeley. The film's director and producer will be present with Davey D for a serious Q&A. This KPFA benefit has wheelchair access. Tickets are at brownpapertickets.com, independent bookstores, and on the 29th at iHouse. Find more information at kpfa.org.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Up next, the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, we're all in this dream together, radio. That is our theme. So today, we syncretize heartening music, you know, Beauty and Venus, astro-mytho guiding story, and we also want to consider true satire, a liberating art, distinct from caricature, irony distinct from sarcasm. We remember that there was a great psychological study done 2 years ago that said to the degree to which people are ironic is the degree to which they have the capacity to cultivate compassion. And I love that because it's unexpected. We think of irony as a kind of bitter, dark thing. But to be ironic, we have to be holding at least two stories at once. Usually what is and what should be, or what is and what people are pretending it is. And to be compassionate is to expand our repertoire and our capacity to hold more and more stories at once. And that's what we're really dedicated to. So today we'll be honoring that and redeeming the kerfuffled missing 24 minutes from last week's show that we may cahoot with Venus to initiate hyper-yang death frenzy Mars and altogether dream a desirable world into being. We know all stories guide us to all stories. You know, if we look out there in the world, we say uninitiated Mars, again hyper-yang Mars, death frenzy, you know, destroying the world. And what is the answer or the solution but Venus? So here to launch us is Venus as embodied by Nina Simone.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world. Freedom!
Oh, Nina Simone, feeling good, fish and sea, you know how I feel, stars when you shine, you know how I feel, feeling good. No solution to anything without beauty, you know, a part of what we're dedicated to is, yes, how are we agents of restoring intimacy to the world? And again, it is only Venus beauty that initiates Mars and guides it, going, what is a hero? What is a hero? What is the purpose of Mars? We are among the few recent generations of humanity that does not initiate Mars and go, here, we need you. We need your goodness to protect life. Yes, we do, in so many ways. By the end of the show, we'll be diving a little more into, you know, news and the mythic news, but we know that all stories guide us to all stories. The two brothers, now the object of manhunt in France, Algerians born in France, raised in orphanage, looking for mentor, again, Algeria, the complex relationship of Algeria and France. All stories start way back, way back. And if we go, what would a wise culture want to do rather than retribution, even in punishment, to go, how did this happen? How did this happen? But always understanding, in a sense, the great late Idris Shah, you know, we're on a caravan of dreams. We're all dreaming this thing together. We're all complicit. Not shame, not blame. But we're all dreaming this world to being. And so the whole metaphor also of the caravan sarai, it's a caravan with all of us in it, you know, and see everyone, and all of us. It's the, as Nina Simone guided, it's the fish and the birds and the thing. Nothing more important now than humans healing their relationship to the earth. We know the giant guiding meta story is Pluto, death, rebirth in Capricorn. Dominance, empire going down, but taking so much life with it, going, underneath culture or renaissance of reverent ingenuity rising from the rubble, meaning humans restoring manners, willing to collaborate with nature's guiding evolutionary intelligence. So it's all going on at once. We're roiling into eventual beauty. May it be so. But I do, you know, Idris Shah's great book, Caravan of Dreams, again, yes, is wonderful. And so here's a great version of Duke Ellington's Caravan that's going to include all the critters at the end. And let's just go on this journey together. Here we go. Team Nina Simone launched us off with Old World is a New World, and then just now guided by Duke Ellington, segueing into the Whales, the Coyotes, the Crows, the Ravens. Thank you, sound ally Richard Olson, for that segue, and the late great Sufi teacher Idris Shah, great collector of Sufi wisdom stories, with a copy of his book Caravan of Dreams. All the ancestors and the beings are here. Again, we are here to replenish, to dedicate to life. You know, as many of the Sufi poets, you know, would say, you know, seek divine while you're alive, you know, honor the miracle of being alive. It is so crucial, as so many people have said in the Middle East, looking at carnage, going, is this any way to honor the miracle? As Carl Jung said, you know, each individual, no matter how befoibled, is a unique experiment with which the divine was going to get to know it better. Again, reverence. We can be feisty. We can be sharp tongued, but we do not rejoice in anyone's death at all, because again, we are alive, we are filling ourselves with all traditions that support us. So I am so fond of Vernard Johnson. It's Bernard but with a V, Vernard Johnson, and he is dedicated to gospel saxophone. So wherever you are, lots of people listen to this show while they're gardening, while they're driving, you know, while they're whatever they're doing, wherever you are, you know, as long as it's safe, feel free to move to this one, just to gather positive Mars, because here is an embodiment of positive Mars, Vernard Johnson, I'm Alive.
Are you alive out there? I said, are you alive out there? What we've got, we'll get all in your hands and make you wave your hands sometimes. We'll get in your feet and make you run when ain't nothing running behind you. It'll get in your belly and make you rub your belly. It'll get in your shoulders and make you twitch your shoulders. And if you got a big head, it'll get in your big head and make you shake your big head. I said, are you alive?
Well, that's Bernard Johnson. That's like Bernard, but with a V for victory. Gospel saxophone. It's a revival meeting we're conducting. We're convening here on our New Year's launch Visionary Activist Show on KPFA 94.1. Yay, team. So, be healed. Be healed. You know, as he sings, on fire, okay, with joy in our hearts. Compassion with sizzle. And the saxophone is so great, full of yearning and aspiration. And breathe, breathe. You know, I can't breathe is again from last year's tragedies onward. We go, breathe. We are breathing. We're alive. We remember the Hawaiian word aloha means full of breath. Aloha. It's like Allah. Allah. And the word hauli, which means honky, basically means no breath. So, Howleys are, or colonizers, colonized colonizers are people with no breath. Okay. So we're breathing, we're alive. Yes. And so now we turn to my great, great allies, Waikuki Kungi, who is actually my Maori son, I guess, because and Tanya Wolfgram, my cahooters at Bioneers some ways back. And I love Waikuki would follow me around going, yes, Mother Trickster. And I go, well, you're only 2 years older than me. Yes, but you had me when you were two. And I go, can I say that I have a Maori elder as my son? They were like, yes. And he's a master builder and a tribal chief and a master carver and a healer of young people. We go, excellent, excellent. So they are so fun. So here's more exhortational aliveness from the Maori allies Waikuki Kungi and Tanya Wolfgram.
Kia mau.
He.
He. Tēnā tautaua.
He.
He. Row in the canoe.
He.
He. Rini wā.
He. Ahi.
Te re wā.
Ahi.
Te re kita.
Ahi.
Tai kita.
Ahi.
Hata tuate.
Ahi.
Tauai tapati.
Ahi.
He.
He.
He. A ngā hau e whā e na guru nei i lau.
Oh, oh, oh yeah, ha,
he.
Ha, so here we are, surfing on in, paddling on in. That was Waikuki Kungi getting us all to row together. We are rowing together. We are surfing in. We are paddling. See, everyone, the befoibled, the near befoibled, we're all befoibled, the imperfect, the heroic, everybody on their, you know, in their canoe, their Maori canoe, everybody on their surfboard, on their windboard, and look, there's a coyote on paddling. Oh, look, it's still a coyote paddling with us. There we go. We're paddling in. We're riding this rising tide of sane reverence. We're surfing in on this in a cultural way. Oh, very wonderful. And of course, to keep our jaunty spirits going, yes, yes, we turn to the Wizard of Oz. Here we go, because we're dancing out of colonialism and empire into culture of reverent renaissance. Thank you, Wizard of Oz team out of the woods.
Let's get out of here. Look, Emerald City is closer and prettier than ever.
I don't want you out of the dark, you're out of the night. Step into the sun, step into the light. Keep straight ahead for the most glorious plains, from the plains of the earth over the sky.
Here we go. Open. Open. There we go. We're almost out of the woods. There we go. And we just want to go to a deep and beautiful place to gather our wits. And we turn to great ally, fellow trickster David Grimes, wonderful troubadour, bard, great comer alive at the time of the Exxon Valdez, working with Doon Lankert. And we want to wish everybody, all of our team listening and all of our team whom we hold dear, you know, a windfall of wherewithal for all of their projects. One of the things that, you know, David has been backing up, but it's really Doon Lankert, a great Athabascan Iak, who has been working for years. May this be the culmination for many of us of what we've been working on for years. May it all come together. He's been working to buy the Bering coal fields, to leave the coal
in the ground, working with a Japanese coal industrialist. He's raised some millions, but just needs a smidge more to go, a windfall of wherewithal, you know, and speaking to everybody. We are willing to cross borders and talk to everybody again and invite them to the desirable story. So Dune has become great friends with this Korean coal industrialist who goes, I'm thinking of my legacy. I want to do the right thing, but I have a corporate board of directors and I got to show them some money. And there we go. And Dune says, think of the incredible positive publicity. You say that your company is dedicated to renewable energy and moving to the future. Nothing could be a greater piece of theater than saying that we have, you know, we are leaving this piece of coal unmined. And we go, yes, yes. So as we hear this beautiful David Grimes with his wonderful lyrical voice, and so many of the team came alive with that catastrophe, and he and Dune were, again, at the Exxon Valdez moment, coming alive as ardent activists at that time, which they continue in their hearts. We go, yes, there we go. And also, in the spirit of tricksters, great tragedy, great grief, they said when the oil spill at the Exxon Valdez happened on Good Friday, they said the animals died for our sins. And it was centered around Heart Island, this island shaped like a heart. And even the most hardened scientists, they all, the hardened scientists and Dune and David, they all had the same dream that night. And it was the souls of all the animals who died going up through up through Heart Island. And their message was, love. We go, oh. So they were all broken apart. Again, poignancy is kinship. And so here's our great ally, David Grimes, who once rescued me after some grim political election, like, oh, I was on the floor. And he goes, no, no, we're not really serious. If we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough. There we go. So here's beautiful, serious, playful David Grimes.
Sometimes I fear my heart will break. It never does, it never does. As if by breaking it would make the most of love, the most of love. And little do I understand why pain and love go hand in hand, or why the beauty of a song can make and keep my heart so strong. We are but a moment here, and in a moment we are gone. But every moment that we share becomes forever in a song. And when I feel my heart so full that it will break or overflow, then it will overflow in song and never break, but only grow. Sometimes I feel my heart will break. It never does. It never does.
Ah. So, yes, our hearts are strong. Sometimes we feel our heart will break. It never does. Beautiful song by our ally, Jessica Radcliffe, a denizen of New Orleans and spirit of that place. So we draw on all medicines from many, many places. There we go. We are sturdy. We feel poignancy. We feel kinship. But our hearts are strong. Remember that Jupiter in Leo, you know, presiding over this new year, Jupiter trine Uranus, we are lucky. We are lucky. Luck runs, increases when we run on the fuel of generosity and curiosity. There we go. So it's wild, wild, renaissance of ingenuity that is coming alive, and we are ready to cahoot with it. It wants to happen. We know we are wealthy with ingenious solutions. We just want the will and the leadership to implement that which is beautiful and useful. We know that Venus is back. Venus is back. She is just as of New Year's Day, visible in the west after sunset. She's back from her underworld tour. Beauty is strong, and she's back. And here is our frame drum, honoring of her spiraling blessings into the world from my winter solstice, birth of trickster redeemer within all hearts, with wonderful frame drummer and drummer Katie Gaughan. Here we go.
So we remember that beauty is powerful. Keep on. And she's back to initiate and guide us. What are the greatest acts of beauty, irresistible beauty we can create for a culture of reciprocal blessing that we're ladling out of this cauldron and spiraling forth? Let us be the balm, B-A-L-M. And we remember envisioning the desirable future brings us into collaborative cahoots with it. We want it. It wants us. In almost all mythologies, the mythic figures are riding an animal. We would be nothing without our animals. So Ganesh is riding a rat. Kuan Yin is surfing in on her dragon. Akilanda, who is a great, previously obscure Hindu goddess. She is the goddess of the power that comes from being broken on the floor. But she rides on the crocodile of her own fear. We go, whoa, what a great image. So everyone, you know, find your animal that you want to ride. And also, what we get to do now in a graceful way without bonking our neighbors, Uranus has been going backwards, apparent motion backwards in the sky. You know, so imagine each one of us has a bow and a bowstring and an arrow. And we've been pulling it backwards. And the bowstring and the arrow might have said, be a part of us that says, oh man, I'm not making any progress at all. You know, I'm going backwards. But the bow says, no, you're really going to like this. To the extent that we pull in and back is the degree of forward velocity. And we're letting that arrow fly tonight. And let's say that that arrow is tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target. So everybody, without bonking your neighbor, you might take a bow and pull the bowstring back and say, if I'm moving into the most exhilarating connected time period ever on behalf of myself and all kin on this planet, what's my target? We can just wonder. And then we let it go. Have our rousing finale. We have our rousing finale. Oh, elves, can you pass out musical instruments to everybody? Magic elves. So we have our rousing finale, which is where we get to spiral blessing into the world. And the animals and the plants are really up for us doing this.
So we're not going to quite do our finale until the very end of this show. So let us counsel now and convene, team. You know, what shall we die to lest we die from? You know, how are we agents of this culture of reverent renaissance rising from the rubble as opposed to the dementors? And that's why it's so useful to tease these principles out. You know, as we love proffering provocative precepts. Let's just put on our alter our work table. To be snookered into polarity is to be inadvertently obedient to the reality police, the overlords, the dementors of doom, Shamat, bless their crazy little hearts. So we go, right, because we remember, we want to remember things that we've been gathering, you know, for the years we've been cahooting, and also realizing there may be new people jumping in right now, but John Michael Greer, remember, tells us, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something. You will only get, you know, and that's a snookering. What two needs is three, which is the unifying story. We're all in this thing together. Now, to go to even deeper, deeper levels, you know, many kinds of news, we need many different kinds of news. We say critique without vision is complicitous with dominance. We want critique. We need to go to the underworld. We remember that Jupiter, storytelling god, and may we all be storytellers, you know, presides over the five-act structure, the theatrical five-act structure, which is intrinsic to nature. Venus forms a five-petaled orbital, you know, design over 8 years. And again, always bring this up, but I love attributing to my great friend Julia Steiny, who years ago moved from Los Angeles to Rhode Island to the bewilderment of her colleagues. She is a playwright who said, the five-act structure is comedy, not ha-ha, but redemption, and exactly what a culture needs. It needs its redemptive guiding story. But the five-act structure goes something like this, which is act one is here we are, act two is away, whoo, act three is oops, ho, act four is evil, the dementors, all of life, bad things, you know, and act five is the wedding, the kiss, the blooming, the guiding story, or even in the mass, hey, St. Francis, or Pope Francis, doing pretty good, go forth and be woofy, you know, so... What Julia told me years and years ago is it's a useful model for everything. You know, we go to a party, it goes through five-act structure, really. But part of the dynamics, she said, in the modern world is that people have been snookered into thinking that the four-act structure, which is tragedy, is the grown-up thing to do, going, it's so terrible, and only I know how terrible it is, and anybody who thinks it could be positive is just... And we go, no. She says the problem, you know, with many creative people, especially for what do we need now, is to end with act four, evil, the bad guys win, you know, death, doom, oppression, you gotta go to act four. She goes, so many people, or so many alleged works of art end with act four going, oh, it's terrible, But she always says to them, come back and write act five. Or Hollywood will sometimes attempt to skip act four, la 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 la, and just tack on a happy ending, and that doesn't work either. The whole cycle, we gotta begin on the journey. We're all in this caravan of dreams. You know, we're away. Woo! Ooh, something happens, disruptive, difficult. Often history, we need a long, long way to think about that. You know, when we think about anything that we look at in the news, you know, it starts a long way ago. What we refer to as ancestors is also stories embedded in the land, and everything is stirring now. So... we go down to a deep, deep place, and then we want to do all these things, and then, you know, gather woof and collaboration and a willingness to cahoot with everything. We say magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything, not approve of everything, not condone anything, but going, how do we work with this? How do we dance in some form? So, yes, again, the litany, envisioning the desirable future brings us into collaborative cahoots. We say that Act 5 wants us. We want Act 5. Act 5 wants us. But that's why I also want to clarify, and we can tease forth together, you know, what serves, you know, what serves what's going down, dominance, empire, colonialism, you know, and what serves what's coming up, which is, again, irresistible cooperation with nature's evolutionary ingenuity, and we can do it. So we want to be magnetizers and storytellers. Everybody, you know, come on over from the thing that's going down to this renaissance of ingenuity, that we are indeed wealthy with ingenious solutions, but we want the will, collective will, the leadership dynamic, in all of our hearts to direct things. Direct things. We are direct. We're all directing this movie. There are some very real things on our table right now. Tomorrow, the House votes on the XL Keystone pipeline. And you know, for a long time now, I've been encouraging us all, and many people really, you know, have been doing this, you know, to go. We see Obama vetoing, but we want to also see him with what it is our task to provide, which is the guiding meta-narrative, the economic everything meta-narrative, and the Venusian invitation to a larger story. You know, we love James Carse's book, Finite and Infinite Games, in which even on the cover it says a finite game is about winning, an infinite game is about keeping everything in play. Everything in play. You know, in the card game Hearts, you can do this bold thing of shooting the moon, but you need all the hearts and the Queen of Spades, and if you leave out even one, you lose worse than if you hadn't tried at all. So that's, you know, we want to leave the finite game of Erda and, you know, into the infinite game of keeping everything in play. But all of this journey, the oops part, whoa, and that's why, you know, we want to be creatively suspicious, but we also want, you know, certainty is a booby prize. It is a mysterious time now. Rumors abound, you know, and also for all of us to keep our hand on the tiller as we're, again, well, many metaphors, well, shape-shifting here. We're surfing in, we're riding in, we're, you know, we're all in our little boat, we're all at sea, but we have a boat, you know, and on the boat there's a tiller that steers this thing, and that's our dedicated heart's desire. Remember, against all odds are the odds that that Trickster likes, and we love Granny Weatherwax, wonderful character in Terry Pratchett's novels, when she's going to do some impossible thing, and everybody goes, you can't do that. You know, million to one chances against you. And she says, million to one chances crop up 9 times out of 10 when your heart is dedicated. Ha 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 ha. And she pulls it off. So, right, it is our dedicated hearts that steer this boat. The winds are coming. It's as though, you know, in one metaphor, again, believe nothing, entertain possibilities, but in one of the guiding stories for this year, dire, turbulent, you know, horrific and tragic and sad and cruel as it is, that is one true story. But it's as though the backstage gods, or whatever metaphor you want to use, going, ah, God, humans, we're going to have to either kill them or heal them. Let's try healing them first. You know, shout out to wonderful Steve Buhner, who really kind of carries this medicine, great botanist, who says he can walk around somebody's house and look at the weeds growing outside and diagnose the illness of the person inside because the weeds are showing up to heal them. That's a whole other great show. It's in the archives. You can catch that. But yes, so as though the backstage gods have said, some things are always true, but there are times when they are truer. So, as though the backstage gods go, all right, let's help these humans out. Let's make the power of storytelling and the power of blessing even more potent. It's always potent, but even more potent. And let's, you know, we call Jupiter the story, representing the storytelling intelligence, you know, and Uranus is, again, trickster, ingenuity, synchronicity. Remember the ideas that are kind of associated with Uranus, trickster, dynamic, nature's against all odds, evolutionary intelligence that loves adversity, going, adversity, fine, watch this. And the last ideas associated with Uranus, this principle, this guiding intelligence, are democracy, equality, synchronicity. And again, it was years ago that I wondered, what do those ideas have to do with each other? And no sooner did I wonder that than events synchronously arranged themselves, in which it was very, very clear that when we treat each other well, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. We all have different roles, you know, on stage and doing different things, but backstage, we are all truly equal. And when we treat each other with respect, remember my favorite etymology that I learned last year? Thank you, Captain Gear. That the word respect means to look at again. God, words are so fabulous. Let's go backwards to go forwards. When we look up words in a good dictionary, it guides us to a more, you know, like, oh, of course, respect means to look at again. When we treat each other with respect, look again, look again, look again, until one finds something to respect, then the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. Just try this. It's just a spooky, interesting thing. So we might say, you know, the Dementors, bless their hearts, you know, bent on, you know, carrying the net of creation, trudging towards the, you know, abyss of planetary extinction, have more lawyers, maybe more money, you know, okay. But we, always recruiting and extending the invitation, and yes, Queen of Spades and Hearts, everybody welcome in this infinite game. But we, if we treat each other well, which does not mean being nice, nice comes from nescient, which means ignorant, but with respect, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. So part of the dynamic of now is we are sailing into this field of serendipitous synchronicity. Whatever we focus on, we're going to get more of. And it's simple truths that we want to kind of spiral forth to everybody. Sane, reverent, common sense. Whatever we do, we get more. Violence, more violence. Dedicated ingenious solutions and peace, more dedicated ingenious solutions and peace negotiations, but also humor. We want to go to the liberating power of humor and the liberating power of satire. We do. We want to really understand that, again, without condemning anything, and all beings have the right to say whatever they want and to live, you know, without being harmed. But we also want to understand, you know, how have we come to Act Four, you know, in one level. There's multiple stories going on, you know, simultaneously, but we go, how did we get to Act Four? Now, part of the beauty of the guiding story that we're all a part of right now is out in California right this moment, and well, everywhere really. If one is lucky enough to have a clear horizon after sunset, one will see a very beautiful thing. One will see Mercury, very rare to see Mercury, and Venus. Mercury will be right next to Venus tonight, right next to Venus, and then Mars. And then with a telescope, you could see other people, other planet people. But all traditional people, all cultures, you know, except for our own very, very modern one where we've eliminated darkness and night and eliminated intimacy with the sky and all those things. Too much light, too much light. But all cultures would have really watched these things because they're beautiful. And they remind us of the order, the beautiful order of heavenly orbits before astronomy and astrology were separated, because they're not really separated. You know, once leading edge physics says there's meaning in patterns, the argument's over. You know, wisdom and science are very happy guiding stories. But if we look, if we see after sunset, I have not seen Venus yet, but she's back. The Venus cycle, she goes to the underworld to gather mojo for the next stage of culture, is told in Mesoamerica, where Venus is Quetzalcoatl, a guy. You know, in the West, Venus is Isis, right? Let's reclaim Isis. Venus is Inanna, Isis, the goddess of nature. Inhaling that back. But she's back. Inanna lives in Iraq, in Sumer, right? And the reemergence of Venus as the evening star, which is what she's doing right now, was thought of as like, oh, the world is in terrible turmoil and people are treating each other with reactive vengeance and cruelty and horror, which we see in myriad forms, you know, again, every day. In some form, but Venus is back, and she has a voice, and we with her. And it's lovely tonight. Again, there are images for each degree of the zodiac. So the image for Mercury, voice, mind, Hermes, trickster, in Aquarius, into the collector, into the collective, is performer in a ritual mystery play. We are all performers in a ritual mystery play. You know, everyone has a role. And we always remember that it is Gollum's overreaching, that is essential to tossing the ring of power back into the crack of doom. Everyone's got a role in some form. So we want to see the desirable and encourage that. The only channel I really love is Esther Hicks channeling Abraham or whatever she's doing. But again, the piece that she conveys that I always carry in backpack is, she says, we cannot argue, conquer, bomb, imprison, convince anyone into doing the right thing. We can see them connected to their own wise autonomy. We can see that. And at no point in Act 4 are things certain. Let's remember also from I think it was a year and a half ago, shooter, you know, bursts into school outside Atlanta with a gun. He's going to kill a lot of students when there is a, I think she might even be a substitute teacher, I can't remember, but this wise, wonderful black woman who just starts talking like Scheherazade to the man who is intent on killing so many children. And she asks him about his life, and she goes, well, I just got divorced, and it's really, there's a Venusian quality. Remember, Scheherazade from the Middle East, where anything's a problem, let's go to the beauty of that place in its culture and its art, all of that, you know, beauty poker. Although we do want to get to, you know, the idea there is also insult poker, and we want to honor, you know, all of that. But she by bringing Venus into it, Scheherazade, by the power of storytelling, liberates the women, the land, and even the tyrant who has murdered his own heart. And so also that is available. That is what this wonderful, ingenious, at the right place at the right time, young black woman in the school, she talked this guy out, and she told him she would keep him safe as he surrendered, and he did. We go, everything. So we do wonder, I don't know how many of you remember the incredible movie, hasn't been shown in a while, but Battle of Algiers. It's an amazing movie that actually is why one understands terrorism. We go all the way back to the French colonizing of Algeria. Spooky. The only time I've ever been to France was summer of eighth grade, which was brought by a French teacher, and we were in two groups, and our group, the French teacher dropped her off with us off with her deeply troubled, crazy brother, French brother, in France in an Algerian refugee camp in the Alps. And this man who had been a French colonialist and who had brought, troubled Algerian youth back. And anyway, it was a whole complicated thing. But from that moment, I go, ooh, France and Algeria, even as an eighth grader going, whoa, all these things. Oh, these are complex things. So the two brothers, the Algerians, you know, raised an orphanage, all part of the dream. How does this happen? Don't know what the shoe does or the ID in the car. Spooky. But I want to also just bring up themes that we will be continuing to animate through the year. One, Obama vetoes the XL pipeline. We want to hand him the story that is the irresistible invitation to Americans, to the ornery, disobedient, creative part of Americans. We need everybody's ingenuity now, you know, because here's where we're going. We go, all right, excellent. But I also want to, you know, let us honor also satire. Satire that got this magazine into trouble, maybe. But remember the Celts, satire has been an important part of bringing down tyranny everywhere. The Celts thought that it is satire that could bring down tyranny, that the satirist would deliver his or her critique to the unruly tyrant, and the unruly tyrant would have to respond in artful kind. Oh, those were the days. And whoever's story or critique was less true, the ground would open up and eat them. They go, yeah, let's bring that back. What a good idea. So what do we have in the modern world? You know, everything, you know, the interview, the movie, basically made by 12-year-old boys, you know, disguised as grown-ups in some form, not thinly disguised, you know, becomes this occasion. The much more serious and tragic, French, the murder of the 12 people at their editorial meeting, you know, only day before yesterday, and the hunt, all of that. So it grabs our attention. Everything is connected to everything. Whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance. To provoke somebody with a limited repertoire of responses is a dodgy thing. To encourage all of us to have an ever-expanding repertoire of responses is part of our dynamic. It's part of, you know, Eddie Izzard and Amina Rahman, genius people, you know, to have our Star Trek phaser settings have many, many, many more phaser settings. Now, we also have South Park. I am quite fond of South Park. I think everything worthy deserves to be satired. Absolutely. I would like South Park to do to cover Pacifica Radio. I would like South Park to cover environmental pioneers conferences and you know, spiritual retreats and the Green Festival. I think it's healthy. It is useful. I often like offending people on occasion, but in a trickster way. We want people to know why. I do remember at one point when I was kind of critiquing the Abrahamic religions, and a rabbi came up to me and said, "I've never been so insulted in all my life." And I go, "Ah, but the day is young. Wait, there's more coming, you know." And I want also to be hosting at some point, or to engage more, you know, Art Spiegelman, great friend of show. I met him a little bit, and we go, he says, "I do believe in the right to insult." You know, and even the right to offend. But he, in his brilliant, really pertinent article, you know, from 2007 in Harper's Outrageous Cartoons and the Art of Outrage by Art Spiegelman, really, really pertinent to now. You can find it on my Facebook page, Coyote Network News Facebook, or many, many areas. You can just Google it. But we go, he says, He goes into an artful critique that the cartoons themselves, you know, were, you know, 12-year-old boys, and many of them were, you know, were, you know, provocative without being intelligent or healing in any way. And he proposes, he says, a world-class nuclear bake-off of rancorous visual satire battle of wits, all armed combatants to be yanked from the Middle East, and a battalion of cartoonists airlifted in from all corners of the globe to replace them. You know, artists with sharp pinpoint, may they prevail. And we go, what a great idea. And we will have more of that in future. In future unfolding shows where we draw these distinctions. But for now, I want to, we're going to end with Axiom of Change, one of my favorite pieces of music, and we're going to think of it as, ooh, into the shadows, there we go, and again another rousing piece in which we see everyone, the befoibled and the wonderful, and all of us, you know, again, rising in, and as the music gets quite exciting, and see what we need, the wrathful Dakinis and all, and the power of, you know, ISIS and Inanna and sane, reverent common sense, and here we go. remember, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. Tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth, and we love the earth. Thanks always to Erica Bridgman in Berkeley and to Douglas Bell in D.C. I'm Caroline Casey, and we will reconvene next week.
Yo soy Julieta Cusmin, aquí con La Raza Chronicles, Crónicas de la Raza, bringing you noticias en español and in English.
Música, poesía. Soy Nina Serrano, La Raza Chronicles, Crónicas de la Raza, every Tuesday, 7 to 8.
My name is Esther Munia, La Raza Chronicles, here at KPFA 94.1 FM.
Yo soy Vanessa Boom, aquí con La Raza Chronicles, Crónicas de la Raza. Every Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m., bringing you Noticias de la Raza Community.
Yo soy Nicté, Crónicas de la Raza, todos los martes de 7 a 8 p.m.
This is Maya, aquí con La Raza Crónicas, every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., worldwide at kpfa.org, and in the Bay at 94.1.